Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our village board meeting this evening. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We will call our meeting to order. Excuse me. Trustee Harris. Trustee Genereg.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart is not here yet. Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Sampson.
Here.
Do I have a motion to adopt the agenda as presented or to modify it?
Move to approve as presented.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Trustee Genereg. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Announcements. We've recently had a resignation of the Public Works Committee. Mr. Rick King, who has served our village as an employee and as a volunteer on the Public Works Committee for many, many years. We thank him for his service and wish him well. We will also be looking for a new Public Works member. And there's information on that, I believe, on the website. If not, you can call Village Hall and get information on that. Next announcement, Wednesday, July 17th, there's a picnic in the park. It's put on by CP, the Miracle League, and My Team Triumph. It's from 4:30 to 8 p.m. It's at the Rush Miracle Field at Optimus Park on Libel Avenue, just north of here. Fun, baseball, a great time. So go join the community for a beautiful night. On August 1st, from 5:30 to 8 p.m., there will be an event called Hops on the Hill. This is the 12th annual Hops on the Hill, and it's an opportunity at Heritage Hill to sample over 25 craft beers paired with delicious food from 20-plus local restaurants, and of course you get to enjoy the grounds at Heritage Hill. You can purchase tickets by stopping in the Visitor Center at Heritage Hill for Friday, 10 to 4:30, or by calling them. You can also go to heritagehillgb.org and look at their events. There's information there. Are there any other announcements from staff? Any other announcements from the board? Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 4. Is there anyone in the audience this evening who is interested in speaking on something that is not on the agenda this evening?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bike Ped Committee. I'd like to ask Mr. Rafter to put on the agenda for next meeting a discussion of the TID 1 budget and the emergency road reconstruction that's going on right now on West St. Joseph Street. That project
Stop.
Is not part of
Stop.
The budgeting process.
Stop. This is the last time I'm telling you. You went through the process. It was not brought forward. We're not putting it on the agenda. So thank you and have a seat. Now.
Brad indicated that it was a sham, so I'm required to sit down?
Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
Because you just told something that was not true. Brad did not say anything. Sit down. Brad did not say anything was a sham. You've said that. You've used that terminology. And the terminology you use to identify things that go on in the village is inaccurate. You had a chance to get your answers. You got your answers. You didn't like your answers. I can't help that. Is there anyone else who would like to speak tonight?
I'm a resident of Alloway, and I have been so for
almost 50 years.
Great. Could you give us your name and address, please?
Lori Flagstad, 433 Kelb.
Thank you, Lori.
I live directly across the street from the Optimus Park.
Okay.
And throughout the years, the Optimists and the Miracle League have done a fabulous job in renovating the park itself and giving access to individuals that are physically challenged and everything, but it is getting to the point where the park in itself is being, I don't want to say vandalized, but it's beginning to be a nuisance. Every day I have to go outside and I have to pick garbage up out of my yard from people who are in the park. As a matter of fact, I just took a picture of a vehicle that had left garbage laying in a parking spot right in front of a garbage can. And it's not just does not stay in the park. It travels. And we also have wildlife through there that are eating it and everything else and picking up dirty diapers and everything else that is in that park. I don't know if there's a way that I know you have summer interns that help. If they could go through the park maybe in the morning when they first come on shift to kind of take a look through there and pick up whatever garbage they have, the appropriate ways and means of doing it. But that's an issue that we're having. And we have people that park there overnight. And we have kids and sometimes adults in there after hours. Dogs, smoking, you name it, it's going on in that park. And I try my best, because I live directly across from it, to help as much as I possibly can, but I can't sit there 24 hours a day and watch it. I was wondering if there's something that we can do to help with the community in that park, because it is a well-known park in this area. It's just a suggestion.
Yeah.
If we could put our heads together and maybe come up with an idea. I don't know what else. I know, like, when the Miracle League, they leave at 8 o'clock, they don't go through the park and look. They close down and they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
If maybe somebody from the Miracle League can help out, I don't know.
Okay.
But that's my concern as a citizen in this village. And there's a lot of speeding up and down the road, too, with the kids in the park and everything.
Okay.
So I'm just looking for safety and the cleanliness and everything, because kids are going to go through there. They're going to pick up the garbage. They're going to pick up the dirty diapers. They're going to... And I grab a pair of gloves and I go and pick them up. But those little kids out there should not have to be subject to it either.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking of.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for coming. You are doing your part. Thank you for your pride in your community. We appreciate that.
It's something. There's a way that we can think of as a community, try to help out.
Yeah.
That's all I ask. Can't keep it on just a couple people. I know my neighbors. I have an elderly lady that lives next door. She can't do it.
Yeah.
And I know the other ones just don't care.
What I would suggest you do is get that guy's contact information and give your contact information to Brad. He's our village administrator.
Sure.
And we will look into how we can curb that. And
I appreciate you taking your time out of your
thank
agenda
you for
here. Thank you.
First, a question.
Yes.
The problems you describe, is it pretty localized, like in the area of
no.
the parking lot or the ball field?
It's all over. It's all over. And now they're even going into the ravine where the trees are and everything. And there's a lot of deer that live down in there. They're hunkered down in there. And, you know, and when they get up and move, you know, you've got cars traveling down and up and down our street. Sometimes, I mean, I've seen cars going, you know, 45, 50 miles an hour booking down that street. And they're going to hit one of those animals. And there's going to be somebody that's really going to get hurt.
But there's litter.
There's litter everywhere. In the spring, I take a garbage bag, my daughter and us, and we go in there. We pick up what we can pick up. But you just can't get it all. So, but it's everywhere.
Well, thank you.
It blows all over, but when you say you see people hanging out or smoking,
yeah.
or
yep.
they're doing that different areas. It's not
all
just
over through the park.
Okay.
All over.
Thank you.
Thank you very much,
thank
Lori.
You.
Thanks for
thank
coming.
You. Thank you.
Come on up.
and I live right on Libel Street, 1711. Just a few things. Speeding is a big issue. We've gotten past on the right and on the left, and people just fly down our road. It's a huge issue, especially when like the Miracle League goes on. There's kids all over. I have a slow sign in my yard, and people just don't care. Also, if we can, is there a way we can get a deer crossing sign?
I don't think deer follow those signs.
We get a lot of deer that cross. So I'm like, if we can get like a deer crossing, just so people maybe slow down a little bit.
Okay.
And what was the other thing? Oh, there is a tree by their little bend over there. It is really, really hard to get out of my driveway. I can't see cars coming around. Can we get that trimmed? Cut down, not cut down, but trimmed really good. It's fine in the winter, but in the summer when it grows, I can pull out of my driveway and then a car's coming, so then I can't get out.
And that's in the parkway?
Right at the first bend going okay. around. Yes, it's on the right side.
Okay.
There's a tree, and it's really hard. And maybe a crosswalk by the park, because people don't stop. When we like try to cross to go to the park, people just don't stop. And it's a big issue. I know my kids love to go there like almost every day.
Yeah.
And it takes them a long time to get across because people don't stop. Okay. So if we can maybe get a crosswalk.
Is there a time of day that is more or less
this road is, I know it's a very busy road, but I mean more in the afternoon, evenings,
okay.
when they like to go to the park
yeah.
and stuff, people don't stop. So we can maybe get a crosswalk or something.
Very good. Could I saw Brad pull down his business card.
Absolutely.
But thank you very much for coming and letting us know. Brad will take care of you and get you to the right people. But thank you.
Thank you.
I suggest that we put up signs saying no deer allowed in the alleyway, but they don't pay attention to those either. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak this evening? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 5, public hearing to consider adoption of ordinance 2019-08, rezoning of parcel AL1129, located at 212 Iroquois Avenue, from A residential district to B residential district. Property is also known as the McCormick Assisted Living. Is there anyone here who would like to speak on this issue of the public hearing? Second call. Come on up, ma'am.
My name is Allison Frazier. I live at 2516 Picard Circle and received notice of this public hearing tonight. And that's why I'm here.
Great.
I had some questions and met with Trevor. And the first question was regarding the request from Residential A. We've lived in our home for 38 years and 25, a quarter century longer than that. Ago, the apartment buildings that reside on the property was Zone B. In my files and notes from that time, I have two letters of correspondence between the then village attorney and the then building inspector, which I found after meeting with Trevor. And it refers to the property as Residential B, which was why I, you know, was asked to Trevor why this is being rezoned. The request is for Residential A to become B.
Mm-hmm.
And in the letter, it refers to the zoning as a non-conforming use. The question over a quarter of a century ago was about the apartment buildings. So my question tonight, first of all, is this... request, where did that come from? And Trevor's explanation was that in 2004 the records, the zoning records, were not transcribed or not put on the internet, so they didn't, there wasn't an existing record. So I'd like to submit the letters that refer from the
okay.
from the parties of what that zoning is. And then my concern regarding Ilya Mocenary, which is my recollection was that after this hearing, and it was a moot hearing, that Ely Mosinary was no longer part of the village zoning code, but the definition is given in this letter, which describes an institution for the distribution of charity. So in this request, part two of this section two of this rezoning request for B asks for no restrictions apply. So in that event, does that mean that no non-conforming or any conditions, which for the YMCA, which is non-profit, it has some restrictions on street parking and those things, that I'm questioning B zoning. I haven't seen exactly what B allows for, but I did learn, again, it's a lot of information, that there's been a change of ownership. I didn't exactly take that in last week. So that in the future, if there were a change of hands with an unrestricted B, and it's B zoning allowable, what would happen to the apartment buildings if there's no restriction? And the condition of use, and when those apartment buildings went ahead and were built, was for retired priests. But that isn't... So the question now is, how exactly will the apartment buildings be used, which is not part of the addition at all for the lunchroom, which is part of the request or the reason this came up? I'm confused. And I hope I haven't confused you with my confusion in my 3.5 questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this topic? Third and final? Okay, we will close the public hearing. We'll move on to item number 6, action regarding ordinance 2019-08, rezoning of parcel AL-1129, located at 212 Iroquois Avenue from A residential district to B residential district. Trevor, would you like to give us a quick overview?
Sure. This request comes at the as the result of a addition being done to the building. And I apologize, we are having technical difficulties today. Otherwise, I'd have images on the screen. Currently, the property is zoned A residential, which is very restrictive as far as what is allowed. The current use is not allowed in A residential. And because they are adding on to their building or have plans to add on to their building, they do require to be rezoned to a B residential. So B residential allows apartment buildings, and as Ms. Frazier indicated, apartment buildings for religious, philanthropic, or a lot of Majority. Yes, thank you. Use that word. Uses, so. And the current owner does fit within that category.
Okay. So the definition of a B residence district is all uses in the A residence district, two family dwellings, boarding houses, lodging houses, authorized religious, charitable, or philanthropic institutions, hospitals, and clinics, not including correctional institutions, veterinary uses, and so forth. Right?
Right.
Okay. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genrich?
I would move to approve.
And a second. Trustee Dart? Any discussion? Trustee Sampson?
I would just point out there's been a change in ownership from the Catholic Diocese of Green Bay to St. Paul Elder Services, but the mission is pretty similar, and both are not-for-profit charitable organizations, so I don't think there's a significant change in direction by any means. So I live close by, so I'm very confident in what they're planning to do. So,
And I live across the street from the Fraziers, and this is 200 feet down my street as well. The question, I think, and not just Allison, but a couple other neighbors have had, you know, does this open the door, once you grant this B zoning, for it to become just regular apartments? If it changes hands away from a philanthropic, charitable, with this sort of mission, without any changes, could a new owner operate it as a conventional apartment complex? And maybe I'm asking for speculation, but would they have to come back through zoning and this board? A new buyer, would they have to do that if they wanted to make that change?
I believe then, in that case, it would be, again, a non-conforming use, which then if they wanted to do any other additions or any remodels or anything of that nature, then they would have to come before and get rezoned to the appropriate zoning classification. We were made aware of the sale of the property. A lot of times we were notified by title companies to ask about the current zoning and whether anything's grandfathered or existing non-conforming, and we'll give that title report or that zoning report at that time, so the buyer is aware at that point, if they do the proper procedures, whether or not the zoning is adequate for their use.
Okay, and then the other question, and I confess I wasn't involved with this at the committee level, but was there discussion whether the parking is sufficient or is going to be sufficient given, you know, the what I think is fairly limited remodeling? I mean, it's extensive in terms of expense, but it's basically a dining room and a drop-off area is mainly what we're talking about here. Was there any talk about how parking might be affected and whether that could impact the neighborhood?
I believe they're losing one stall in the front on Iroquois Avenue as a result of the renovations. Not sure if they're gaining any stalls in the back because they are relocating the dumpster more internally into the building. But they do have adequate parking for this, for their needs.
Yeah, and my reading of this isn't going to involve a change in programming or activities that would really affect that or necessitate a different parking capacity. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I understand there's an ingress and an egress now on the parking?
Yes.
Okay, so that's actually, that would be better for fire department access, all of that?
Yes.
It says that the planning commission had a concern about lighting or a question about lighting. Is there any concern about that?
It's being worked through right now. I believe we have a solution figured out. And I do have a neighbor that is helping out with that. But I believe, yes, I believe we have it figured out or addressed.
And if I might ask, was that because people were afraid it was going to be commercial lighting, too much lighting for the site?
Yeah, and maybe we can get into this in the site plan, but one of the lights that were relocated closer to Iroquois Avenue did have greater foot candles onto the residential, adjacent residential properties than what we allow. And the electrician has adjusted the lights that, according to the specs they provided, do meet our requirements. So they haven't fired them on yet, so I'm not entirely sure, but according to the specs, they do.
Any other discussion, Trustee Harris?
With regard to the two documents that Ms. Frazier referenced, if we were at, without seeing them, if we were at residential B 25 years ago, and we'll be switching to B if this passes, in a way those two documents are moot, correct? There's nothing that we would really need to take into account with those, as far as I can tell. I just want to make sure of that.
So I haven't seen what Ms. Frazier has, but I did look in her voting files and I did see something from like 1981. They did reference property as B residential. At some point, it either got changed or something got changed, but it is now listed as a residential, so then that's kind of the...
So we'll be making it B tonight if it passes, so we define. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I do have I got a copy late this afternoon from Allison. I can pass that along. Basically, it's letters from David Condon, who was the village attorney at that time. And really, it was mostly about, if you recall, that's when the old 1923 home got the modern addition that was going to be the priest's retirement apartments. And there were a lot of questions about, did that fit under the zoning or the permitted use as a, whatever you call it, help me out here, the way they operated that, the fact that you had apartments with their own kitchens, and they really were apartments as opposed to a group living situation. Mostly had to do with that, and there were a lot of questions about that, but as I read through it and just skimmed it, it didn't appear to speak directly to any much of what we're talking about tonight. It really was about that limited question of whether the apartments should be built, and they were, and really that's not part of this now. The whether it's B or A did raise this question. Thank you.
Any other discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 7, action regarding petition from McMahon Associates requesting site plan and design review for a building addition at 212 Iroquois Avenue, McCormick Assisted Living. Do I have a motion on this item? Or Trevor, do you want to fill us in? Or?
I believe everything was covered in the last discussion.
Yeah. It looks very nice. Mm-hmm. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genrich.
Move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Sampson, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 8. Action regarding noise variance permit request from the Diocese of Green Bay, 1825 Riverside Drive, for a music and family festival on Saturday, August 24th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. They're expecting to have 300 to 400 people. The setup will be on the parking lot facing the buildings that belong to the diocese, minimizing contact with local housing. The noise-generating equipment will be guitars, trumpets, keyboard, microphones, speakers, and singers. I have a motion on this item.
I'm going to approve.
Okay, do I have a second? Trustee Sampson. Excuse me, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 9, action regarding Public Works Committee minutes dated July 10th, 2019. We'll take 9A, Resolution 2019-21. Approving Compliance Maintenance Annual Report. Mr. G.
The village owns and operates a wastewater collection system. The sanitary sewer system conveys sanitary and wastewater flows to Newwater. The collection system consists of 61 miles of sewer, two lift stations, and countless manholes. On a yearly basis, DNR requires that we put together a compliance maintenance annual report summarizing the inspection and maintenance activities that were undertaken for the previous year. The report includes goals future improvements to the collection system. Goals for 2018. Some of the goals for 2018 were to continue sanitary sewer replacement. Continue sanitary sewer replacement and replace high priority sewers. In 2018, we slip lined 218 feet of sanitary sewer just north of Marine Street. In addition, in 2018, we started the design of this year's street reconstruction project. The goal for last year was annual televising. Last year, we televised 3,725 feet. On a yearly basis, we clean our sanitary sewer system. Last year, we cleaned approximately 33% of the sanitary sewer and manholes. We also have looked at improvements to our sewer lateral ordinance. Right now, we do have a voluntary sewer lateral replacement program for private side. We're having some success with that this year. We've had a number of people that have signed up for that program to remove and replace their private side sewer lateral in an attempt to get rid of old clay pipe to eliminate I&I, flow and infiltration. We have discussed the potential purchase of a new TV camera to make that a little bit easier for us. We'll be reaching out to neighboring communities to see if they have that need and the possible joint purchase of a TV camera with the neighboring community. We explored a cross-connection program. In years past, we had the ability to inspect and enforce illicit connections at the sale of a home, and we no longer can do that due to recent legislation. Right now, we don't have a program in place, and we don't have the ability to go in and inspect and require somebody to disconnect if they're connected, if their Clearwater drain system is connected, say, for instance, to a floor drain that's connected to a sewer lateral. The other thing that we'd like to, that one of the things that we discussed last year and we're going to take on this year, we are aware of a sewer bottleneck on East River Drive between Mission and Alloway. We want to look into that, and we've had a number of basements flood in that area. We've received large rain events, so we want to explore that and study that to see if there's a solution to that problem. Some of the future planning efforts include this year's street reconstruction utility project. We're removing, I don't know how many feet of sanitary sewer, but off the top of my head, I'd say a couple thousand feet of sanitary sewer. We'll be doing the same thing in 2021, 2023, 2025, and 2027 and 2029 under our street reconstruction projects. We'll be evaluating sanitary sewer and removing and replacing defective pipe. This year, we will be putting out a contract to improve the sanitary sewer at the south end of the village near Andalusia Court, roughly 400 feet. I'm hoping to slip line that. The pipe is in poor condition. We had tried to televise that pipe, and we weren't successful to get the camera through it, so it does need to get repaired. With this report, I need to submit a resolution indicating that the village board has reviewed the CMAR report and approved it.
Any questions for Sean? Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Second by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? I sit on the Public Works Committee. I want to thank Sean for his hard work on this and the whole team. He was very thorough, and so I'm pleased to support this. We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 10, action regarding bid results.
I'm sorry, 9B.
2019 street reconstruction project update.
Sure. Start with Longview Avenue. All of the underground infrastructure is mainline infrastructure has been installed, along with, with the exception of storm sewer laterals. All the laterals have been installed. This week, the contractor will be installing storm laterals, and next week, the excavating crew will be in to begin to cut the subgrade and put down base for the runway. Martha Avenue, the underground infrastructure has been installed, and the services are active. St. Joseph Street, all of the underground infrastructure work has been completed. A lot of the roadway work has been completed. The subgrade has been graded. The base has been placed. Curb and gutter, but for the most part, has been poured. And I believe they're wrapping up pouring the sidewalk today. We anticipate the contract, the paving contract, should be in middle part of next week. Oakwood Avenue from Green to Mission. The sanitary sewer has been installed. Contractors are currently working on installing the water main. Work has not yet started on Oakwood Avenue between Mission and Halloway. And the same is true for Oakville Drive and Summit Street. Would like to quickly give an update on some of the public works projects that undertaken just recently. I had some pictures, but unfortunately we're not able to show those tonight. But I wanted to let everybody know that we are, our public works crew is taking on some street patching. As of today, we have patched, we have completed three patches, one on Floral, one at the intersection of Alloway Ave and Woodrow, and one on Custer Court. We plan to do more. Sewer cleaning, that will be ongoing throughout the summer. Striping, I think you guys have all noticed we've had a public works crew out pavement marking, putting out paint at stop bars and crosswalks. The other thing, too, that I wanted to mention is that we have recently made some temporary improvements at the residential yardway site. We had some pictures for that as well. We had widened that area north. We had cut into the berm in an attempt to increase the drive aisle width to better accommodate the flow of traffic to get more people in and out quicker. We also moved the storage shed there on the east side of the east entrance to accommodate or to improve flow of traffic as well. In addition, we had created some compartments or bunks on the north side, larger bunks and compartments for yard waste and grass clippings. The other thing that we had done to improve that area to add additional space for storage, we moved the appliance and electronic drop-off area west of the west entrance.
Thank you. And a lot of those, like the patching and that sort of thing, that's a result of the continuous improvement program that the village has taken on to look at ways to become more efficient so that we can do more, not with less, but with the resources we have and reduce the reliance on outside contractors. So congratulations to the team. Great job. Item number 10. Bid result and award of street repair project contract AL 2019-03. Am I correct in that singular?
Yeah. So yesterday morning we opened the bid for, we've gotten one bid for the street repair project that was submitted by Northeast Asphalt. Bids were opened at 10:30 yesterday morning. Bids came in a little bit higher than expected, and again, that's a direct reflection of the amount of work right now. It's We did our best to try to get a handle on what those costs might be. When we put together the contract and we put together the cost estimate, we had met with a number of contractors, mainly Northeast Asphalt, to make them aware of the project. We did that early in June. The contract amount is $805,106.90. Jeff and I took a hard look at quantities this morning, and we've made some adjustments to reflect the actual work in an attempt to lower the dollar amount for this contract. We were successful. We were able to adjust some quantities and lower the estimated project cost to an estimated cost of $686,182. Not enough to change the scope of the project, but in an attempt to get this thing within budget. Unfortunately, we're still over what we had budgeted for this year's street paving project. We have a couple of options available. The first option, which isn't the preferred option, which would be to eliminate one of the streets that was included in this contract. And the other option would be to find some excess funds so that we can move ahead with this project. And at a minimum, to move ahead with this project, we need $80,000, approximately $80,000 to move ahead. So I met with Julie and Brad late this morning. We had discussed some potential funding sources, one of which would include the excess tax funds that we have, and the other one, sale of the recent village property, and joint that could get into a little more detail.
Yeah, I think the preferred option, or my preferred option, was to take the funds that we received from the sale of the property on Riverside Drive and apply that towards this project so that we're not kicking the can down the road. Unintended whatsoever, but the costs are the cost, and we're just in that game right now. And to push this road, to push a road off, just means that another one's going to get pushed off next year. And it's just going to be a continuous cycle. So that would be the recommendation, would be to utilize those funds.
Would we be utilizing the net? Or the entire sale of those funds?
Not quite the entire. It's like 92 available.
Okay. I don't remember what we paid for it, so.
40 something, I think, is that total investment into that.
And we have not earmarked that for anything else. It sounds like a good solution.
We're only 80K over. I thought we allocated 500,000 for street maintenance.
We did, but
oh, your adjustments.
Well, they're portions of the project that get applied to other budgets.
Oh, okay.
Storm sewer, water main, sanitary sewer. We have a sidewalk budget of 10,000, a curb and gutter budget of 10,000. We have a street patching budget of 50,000. So it's a combination of it's a total of all those.
Okay. And there's, in a sense, a ceiling of how much work we can get done within a calendar year, correct? That's where the idea comes. If we push off a road this year, we're pushing off a different road in 19 into 20, so on and so forth. Okay. It's part of, I was just trying to figure out how we may be able to adjust, but if we we can't make it up, so to speak, next year. Not easily, at least.
No, not with. We'd have to increase the next year's paving project or budget.
Question from somebody who's relative newcomer to this. It's not something where you say, declare the bids that we're going to rebid it and come back and say August and September or try again. I mean, you wouldn't get better bids then. And as far as the big cost overrun, I presume it's because nobody's out there hunting for work. Maybe the price of materials is up, and certainly there must be a labor shortage. Is any one of those factors really in play this year, or all of them?
All of the above. It's a direct reflection of the amount of work out there right now. I was hopeful that the trend that we had seen earlier this year with the bidding of the reconstruction projects, that it was an indication of just at that time that the amount of work that had come out at that time. And I was hopeful that by allowing this work to get done this fall, that contractors may be looking for work this fall, be wrapping up their summer street reconstruction projects. But that isn't the case. General contractors and subcontractors are extremely busy.
They might be busy into next year too. If there's a backlog, so you're not going to see a favorable market.
To make sure that we get all of the work done this year, we need to get started right away. Having a contract, written from the contract, that the improvement to Woodrow and Oak Ridge get done before school starts. And that would be at the end of August, so we're going to tackle that project first. Go from there.
Thanks.
Okay, so, excuse me, any other discussion? So we're looking for a motion to approve the contract.
Yes, and excess funds.
And the spending of the excess funds from the sale of the property on Riverside Drive. Do I have said motion or another motion?
Move to approve the street repair contract. With additional funds to be provided by the sale of the Riverside Drive property in the total amount of whatever it is, 686, did you say?
686, 182.
Is that the bottom line?
Yeah. Are you looking for us to approve the 686 or the 805?
The IDW fund is 686.182.
Period.
Well said.
Okay. Second.
Second by Trustee Enrich. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 11, action regarding a request from SKB Terrace LLC for a six-month extension for project at 3241-3245 Riverside Drive. Trevor?
So this, Joe, so happens to be the property it was just referenced. We did sell the property on Riverside Drive back in January, actually. And per the agreement, the developer was supposed to start construction by January, or by 12 months after closing, and then obtain occupancy 12 months after that, so 24 months after closing. It appears just with the workload of the architects and the different construction companies that they don't anticipate being able to make that January start date, obviously with winter too. So they have requested an amendment to the closing agreement for June 4th of next year as the groundbreaking date, and then 12 months after that being the occupancy date.
Okay. Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Do I have a second?
Trustee Dart.
Any discussion? Trustee Atwood.
Do all the original terms apply moving forward? Because there were some terms about if certain things weren't done, it reverted back to the village. Was there not?
Right.
Do those stay in place with the extension, or are those drop out?
That would be a board decision, but yeah, it's the impression that those would all stay in place.
Okay, so original terms get extended along with the extension.
Correct.
Okay. And the only real negative appears to be a loss of tax revenue for 1 year, give or take.
Yeah, and it would be partly a partial assessment because the groundbreaking would have occurred at the deadline for the groundbreaking and occupancy would be January anyway, so it would be after that December 31st mark.
Trustee Harris.
I would ask that we talk about one other maybe modification to the motion in terms of we had an agreement for sale with a date of construction, date of occupancy, and I understand things can slide, but we had established dates, both parties agreed to them. We're being asked to delay that or move those dates. The dates are being presented by the other party, will agree to them, but I would look at something along the lines of if there is a further delay, there is a penalty. In terms of what we have for projected assessed value, it's about $2.2 million. The revenue to the village for that assessed value is about $15,000 a year, ballpark. So if we included something along the lines of if occupancy doesn't take place by the June 4th, 2021 date, there is for each month not meeting the June 4th date, it's 1/12 of $15,000 or $1,250 a month as a penalty. That way the village is getting the revenue. I want to put something in place so that we avoid issues with different projects continuing to slide. I anticipate, I've got nothing to make me assume that there's a problem here, but I'd rather put something in place just to make sure that the village is getting the anticipated revenue. Just an idea for the group to discuss.
Well, we've done that before, right? And we've said that not on a monthly basis, but basically the taxes are due, whether the building's there or not, based on the estimated assessed value. So you could say that we'll extend it, and if it goes past that deadline, they're agreeing to pay the taxes as if it were a $2 million property or whatever it is. We've done that before.
I would modify the motion to accommodate that easily.
Okay. Any other discussion on that topic?
We have received payment for it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Trustee Harris, would that penalty be after the groundbreaking date or the occupancy date?
Occupancy. Okay. Because however long the what we had established was an occupancy date of I'm blanking on the exact date, but
June 4th, 2021.
Right. So that'd be what I'd be looking at is just any sort of slide past that June 2021 occupancy date. I think I hope that would be taken as a reasonable request.
And you're not considering it a penalty. Now what we're considering it is they'll be responsible for the taxes as if it was a $2 million, $3 million parcel, whatever the estimated value.
I don't know what the proper wording would be, because I don't know if you'll have a formal assessed value prior to the occupancy being a certificate of occupancy being granted or provided, served.
Whatever. But we did that with the property down at West St. Joseph and Riverside, where the estimated value of those buildings
mm-hmm.
and the associated
tax.
So
if it's if it's reasonable to assume 2 to 2.2 million, we go with a $2.1 million value. And make sure that.
Clarification, when you say we've done it before, I can understand how you could insert a clause like that up front with the initial agreement with the developer. But this is more a resolution of the board that we will pursue a charge of such and such if something doesn't happen. The other party, if they want to contest that, they're contesting a resolution of the board. But it doesn't amend the original agreement. It's a resolution of the board that we would seek that payment.
We are agreeing to an extension.
Okay.
Right.
Well, that's a resolution already on the floor.
Contingent. On those.
Okay, and that's something we've done before in that fashion?
Yeah. Actually, yes, we have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That was an extension. You have to have something completed by a certain date, otherwise there is a financial...
You've come in after the fact or midway through and attached that. Okay.
Yep. When they came back to us
and asked for an
said
extension.
We need more time.
Yep.
And we said, okay, fine, if you think that's reasonable, which I'm sure it sounds reasonable, we're just asking for...
Okay. Because if my memory serves me, the penalty right now is failure to meet the original agreements, they forfeit the property back to the village with any improvements. Is that correct? Isn't that the way the agreement was originally written?
It's similar... It's that plus we pay back everything minus the rent check.
We pay it back?
Yes.
Yeah, we pay back everything but earnest money.
I think in the spirit of wanting the project to go through, once again, it's a very nice building, a nice property. I think it'll be great. Just need, and we're asking hopefully what's reasonable. Okay, so we have a motion to approve, subject to the addition of language. Or are you okay with that? You said you were okay with that.
I am okay with that. So I would restate the motion to include move to approve, and then the penalties as stipulated by Trustee Harris.
Okay. Trustee Bird?
I will agree to that.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Is that addition with the original terms?
Yes.
As well.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Okay.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 12. Action regarding vendor permit for Twas the Night Before Christmas Boutique at Green Isle Park on November 2nd. It's a little early for that. Do we have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Trustee Genrich, do I have a second? Trustee Atwood.
We're good.
It's like at an auction.
I was gonna move to approve it.
Just any discussions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action regarding future direction for closure of Green Bay Correctional Institution. As many of you are probably aware, the legislature put tried to put $5 million into the budget, to acquire land to identify a parcel of property to place a new prison on, to purchase that property, to improve that property with utilities, and to issue an RFP for building a new facility. The governor, using his line item veto, vetoed it, and his reasoning behind it was that he, in his corrections reform policy, is looking to reduce the overall population of the prisons. He admitted in that statement that the main population problem is at the minimum and medium security levels, and that he's looking to reduce that. The Green Bay Correctional Institution is a maximum security prison. He also said that he looked forward to robust public input on this topic. And I think what he's doing, or what's being done, is it's being rolled up into the whole corrections reform issue. And while there are similarities, I think GBCI is unique in its need for many different reasons to be replaced. But he wanted robust public input. And then he said he didn't like the fact that it was added so late in the budget cycle. And back in November, I asked him to put it into the budget, money to replace the prison. Representative Stefan met with him. We had a lot of public input in terms of our petitions, support from county boards, across the board. So I'm not sure what the governor is looking for, but I put this on the agenda because I'm getting a lot of questions from residents, business owners, the press, asking me what's coming next. So I said I'd bring it to the board, and as a board, we can decide, do we want to continue to pursue this matter? I don't think the governor is saying no to closing GBCI. I think he's saying it's part of a larger discussion. Mm-hmm. He's interested in more debate. He's against building new prisons. So from my perspective, it's not a dead issue. It's an issue upon which we should continue to pursue. But I want to ask you what you thought. Does anyone have thoughts?
I think it's still an outdated situation there, that the repair costs and all that don't seem to make a whole lot of sense. So I would say we continue to push and assist him in his reform movement, but continue to include this discussion as part of it. Because that is never going to get better the way it is, obviously. So some alternative needs to come up with, and it's probably easier to work within his plan at this point. So I would say that we continue to work on it.
Thank you. Trustee Harris.
I would say one of the things we could do is look at the governor's statements related to the decision and ask through his staff for more information about what will help the process. Because I don't know if anything's changed from the community perspective of that we want it to happen. So what else from the governor's perspective needs to take place? Let's ask the question.
Very good.
I would also like to understand then where are they at with the improvements they were doing. Have they stopped any of the funding for any of the prisons? Because they had more than $5 million of renovations set aside for that prison, or earmarked for that.
Well, now they got the $5 million because he line item vetoed everything but the $5 million, and he's allocating that $5 million to the DOC to do with as they wish. So he struck out the language regarding GBCI, but allocated the $5 million to the DOC. It may not go to GBCI.
Right.
They need $200 million. I don't know what $5 million is going to be. Trustee Green.
Has he toured that facility?
I don't know that he has or not.
I don't think so, because I can't remember seeing anything in the press about him being there. The situation there hasn't changed any, so I agree with everybody else. We still need to pursue it. I think I go a step further, and I don't know that we can invite him to his own prison, but I would suggest we do that, because until you've been in there, it's just a different... It is way a different setup than the newer maximum security prisons, and I think actually observing that situation may bring a different perspective about what needs to be done there, even in light of his whole reform movement. I mean, I completely get that, but we have a situation here that still needs to be taken care of, so I think we should pursue that and actually issue an invitation to his own prison.
Okay.
On behalf of the board, and see if he'll come. I mean, we all have toured it. I just think he should see it firsthand.
Okay.
And then maybe we'll have a different budget attitude next round.
Yeah. I don't know that we have to wait for the budget. You can always go about doing these things.
Oh, no, I think we should invite him, like, tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And get it on the books.
Let's call him right now.
Yes. Because I don't want to be accused of being late to the table.
Right.
Because that's not the case. This has been talked about for years. And so I think if we can get him to tour it shortly, as he's looking at his reform efforts, he'd have a better visualization of what's going on there. Because I think there can be a lot of talk about it, but it's very different when you've been in there and you've seen some of the circumstances that are within that.
Good, thank you.
It's really only been talked about seriously for 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. One or 2 years?
Three.
And so I would...
Well, yeah, ten, but three,
yeah.
Where we've been.
Yeah, really. So it was really a great achievement to get as far as we did,
yeah.
And have it inserted into the budget. And the governor has had a tough budget, and you know, there were various reasons he chose not to include this. So mm-hmm. I think we're close enough that you can... You got to keep going. An observation that struck me was I was disappointed that some Democrats voted against it, and taking it at face value, maybe they, well, it's not so fast. We've got to look at downsizing our entire prison system. Okay, I'll take that at face value. But when I think of what it could do for the community, and one of the big constituencies, taxing entities, is the Green Bay schools. And I'm looking over at our math expert across the way. $100 million would do how much a year for the Green Bay schools in tax revenue? Mm-hmm. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, anyway.
I don't know what portion,
they get. Do they get 25% of the levy
for schools?
I was educated on that, or semi-educated mm-hmm. on that, by the head of the school board, and from the Warren. And the way that their funding is, it's different. If it increased the population, they get money based on population, I'm told.
Okay.
So, but it would increase the student population. That's what I'm told. But however it works...
But that's fine.
Yeah,
if we're looking to get some more Democratic votes for this, I want to say to the state senator who voted against it,
yeah.
This will help the school district. You know, it's not just going to help Alloway, it's going to help the county. And you've made that case. But... Just keep trying, banging away to get people to bite on different parts of it or find the hook that works.
Yeah.
For
and I spoke to Michelle Longfeld, the head of the school system, and she said that the funding issue isn't that black and white.
Yeah.
It would most likely generate more money for the school system, but it would bring more people into the community, which is always a good thing for the school system.
Right. More vital community and...
Yeah.
Rising tide lifts all boats or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it should be a winner.
Yeah.
Maybe next time.
Yeah, my opinion is just because it wasn't included in the budget, it doesn't mean we don't have a problem. We have multiple problems. We have prisoner safety, staff safety, lack of tax revenue, and way too much money they want to put into that facility. And so I don't think we can let that discussion go. I do think that we give the governor the benefit of the doubt. And as Trustee Green said, I would be very interested in inviting the governor to a meeting or to go down and meet with him, including the DOC, including our staff, and including the board, to sit down. When I talked to the governor back in November, he said he wanted to provide access. And so I'm going to take him at his word and invite them for a meeting. And then we were also promised to have a meeting with the DOC secretary. However, that hadn't transpired, but I don't know even when it was confirmed. So,
just had an addition. I spoke incorrectly when I said we'd all toured. Trustee Sampson hasn't. So I don't know if there's any way, as part of that, if we could have part of those discussions there, and we can get a possible tour with any village representatives involved too, that
yep.
we can discuss what the vision is for that, as well as people getting an eyes on what's happening within there. So,
perfect.
Just a thought.
So, I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion that we invite Governor Evers and the DOC secretary to a joint tour of the prison along with the village board and staff. And to have a follow-up meeting to sit down and talk about the opportunities, the things that the governor needs to hear or have happen to have this work, include Representative Steffen and Senator Coles and any other state legislators who want to. But let's continue the discussion. More importantly, let's move it forward. And I think to Trustee Sampson's point, we have moved it forward, but we're not there yet. So that's my motion. Do I have a second? Trustee Green.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes, and thank you to everyone for your continued hard work on this. Item number 14, consent agenda. We'll take A through D as one. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris. Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Item number 15, auditor's report. Are our auditors here? Thank you for your patience.
Hi, I'm Jenny Hintz. I was the manager on the audit, and Brian Paulus is here. He was the in charge on the annual audit the last couple of years. So I think you received the annual financial report and then a management communication document also. So I'll just start. I'm just going to go over. If you have any questions, you can stop me, and I'll pause too. So page one of the annual financial report is the auditor's opinion. We performed the audit in accordance with governmental auditing standards, and we expressed our opinions on your major funds, which included the enterprise utility funds and the governmental type funds. You received an unmodified audit opinion, which is the best opinion, meaning that the financial statements presented in the annual financial report are materially correct. So we also perform audits of compliance with laws and regulations, so the state statutes, and internal control, basically the procedures and the systems in place, taking in cash, disbursements. We found no instances of non-compliance, and there were, I don't think there were any internal control items noted, so that's good. Then if you want to go to the management communication document, I'll just touch on your funds. So on page 5, you have the governmental type funds. The general fund. If you look at the bottom paragraph, I'll just note that the village's general fund balance totaled $2,993,774, which was a decrease of $96,000 from the prior year. The decrease was expected. There was a balanced budget in your original budget, and you had about $104,000 amendments, mostly in public works. So you expected to have a decrease of about $104,000. So your decrease was $96,000, so you actually had less than what you had expected. The general fund balance is made up of a number of non-spendable, assigned, and unassigned balances, and you can see that in the first subtotals. The one I'll focus on is the unassigned fund balance. So you can see that the unassigned fund balance is $2,748,357. You have a minimum fund balance policy that is 30% of the subsequent year's budgeted general fund expenditures. The minimum fund balance amount that you were required to have based upon that calculation was $2,175,579. So you can see that you're almost $600,000 over your minimum fund balance. So you're in excellent financial condition. Page 6 just shows some charts on the minimum fund balance for the past 4 or 5 years and where the village was at, that you maintained an amount that was well over that minimum fund balance amount. So you've been doing a good job keeping your fund balance healthy. If you want to go to page 7, the TIF district, Or let me just go back to page 6. Did anyone have any questions on any of the other fund balance? I don't really see anything that I need to note unless someone has a question on that. All right.
Thank you.
We talk about the TIF district. That's page 7. Just noting that the village is doing a great job with the TIF district. Normally, a lot of TIF districts we see that I audit, you'll see them borrowing funds from the general fund to pay for the project expenditures in the hopes of getting the increments to reimburse those project expenditures. The Village of Alloway is generating the increments up front, keeping a positive fund balance, trying to get the money first before it's spending. So very good planning with the TIF district. Any questions? Yes?
So in essence, the TIF district is profitable.
We're
bringing in more revenue than we are
Right. You're just basically building the increments in plans for the projects that you're having in there to increase that increment. Right now, the increment is about $470,000 per year. So you can see that I think you had some project costs, a developer incentive. Those are the major expenditures this year. I know you do have some expenditures coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're building it almost $500,000 per year. And in usually, what, September, October, June, you get your...
We were over $500,000.
Yeah, for this year. And then you'll get the new equalized values coming out in the next couple of months. And then from that, we'll be able to determine what the 2020 increment will be. So
that's how I was interpreting it, but I just want to make sure. Thank you.
Yep, no problem. Page 8. We'll touch on 8, 9, and 10 are the utility funds. I'll just touch on each one. The first one, the sanitary sewer utility. The sewer utility has been generating operating income, and it generated enough operating income to cover its operating expenses and debt service requirements. We just recommend the village continue to monitor the results of the fund and then implement rate increases as considered necessary. Page 9 is the water utility. The water utility, as you know, is regulated by the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin. And the rate of return that they built into your last rate study was 6.25%. If you look at the table below, the village water utility the rate of return has actually been lower than the authorized rate of return. But a lot of times there's some non-cash numbers in there. So I usually like to take a step back and look at the cash flows for the utilities. So I look at the 2018 cash flow for the water utility, which is in the annual financial report on page 20 and 21. The village water utility actually generated $1.1 million in cash provided from operating activities, meaning the user fees charged less the expenses and employee wages and benefits paid netted to $1.1 million. You had approximately $300,000 that you had to pay to the general fund for the tax equivalent, basically a tax on the property owned by the utility. So your net amount you had available to pay for the debt in the utility was $800,000. And the debt service for 2018 was $700,000. So the water utility generated enough cash to pay its debt service with a little to pay for some capital items that I think you had during the year. So the water utility is generating enough cash to cover its costs, but we still recommend that you're monitoring it and doing rate increases as needed. Any questions? Okay, page 10, stormwater utility. The stormwater utility generated an operating income of $71,000. Compared to $88,000 in the prior year. But as I stated with the water utility, I like to go back to the cash flow and look at the cash that the stormwater utility generated from operating activities, which was about $312,000, and the debt service that the stormwater fund had was about $360,000. So the stormwater fund did not generate enough cash from its operating activities to cover the debt service, but there was some additional cash from the sale of capital assets, about $42,000. So that helped to pay for some of the debt service. So just continue to monitor those rates to make sure you're generating enough cash to cover your needs, operating expenses, and debt service. Any questions? Okay. Then that was it, unless there were some other questions from the audit report.
That's okay.
You're looking for a question?
I was looking. I can't find it.
Settle down.
I know. I broke my pen. Sorry. You got me so excited.
I know. Nope. Very exciting stuff.
Well, we thank you very much. Any other questions? Or any questions at all?
Excellent report.
And I just want to make a note to thank Julie and Brad and their team for all of their help during the audit. We require a lot of documents, and Julie puts together a lot of schedules for us to make the audit much easier.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Have a great night.
Do we have a question?
Okay. Do we have a motion to suspend the rules? Trustee Harris?
Second
by Trustee Sampson. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Question?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. It's my understanding that half of the funding for the TIF District West St. Joseph project is in fact going to be paid by the general fund and isn't going to be billed to the TIF. So, and also, next year there's going to be an extra $200,000 in the public works budget because it was supposed to be a resurfacing project for next year and that got moved up. So you got extra money for next year, but in the TIF District, you mentioned that oftentimes communities that aren't doing well tap into the general fund, but that's what we're doing on West St. Joseph.
Do you see that to be true?
I would have to refer that to Julie.
Okay. We won't address that.
That wouldn't be part of, that wouldn't be part of the...
It wouldn't be part of the
18 audit. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Do I have a motion to pick up the rules? Trustee Harris, second by Trustee Sampson. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion passes. Item number 16, update on continuous improvement plan. Sorry to burst your bubble.
Hey, you know, we were going to show you some pictures of some of the success, but as Sean indicated, the street department is taking on some of the street patching work. And in doing so, obviously, saves that contracted service aspect. We're going to continue to keep saying that, but we'll keep moving forward with other projects. We've got a new group that Julie has been so kind to help lead, or did they lead, as we're training another group to take on another process. We haven't identified what that process might be. Could be a number of different things, but the goal is to keep working through the entire staff so everyone has the opportunity to learn what continuous improvement is, the tools to look for, tools to utilize, and which will just make us more efficient. So pictures would have been much better.
Bring them next.
Yeah, can you show us next time?
Well, I do want to point out one other thing that that came out of this continuous improvement when we were talking about the brush disposal. Did make a video showing what and why. The biggest question when you do a continuous improvement is when you make a change, is why are you making the change? And so we made this video to show what, why we made the change. Stressing to the residents that we need clean brush. When it's brush collection, it's clean brush. That means, you know, granted, there's leaves attached to the tree, you're not going to pull the branches, you're not going to pull them off, but what we don't want is additional leaves or yard waste or garden waste piled up on that clean brush, because the clean brush is being shipped and utilized for fuel. It's utilized for our village residents. We put it out at the gun. The yard waste site for it to be picked up. It's utilized in playgrounds. It's utilized for landscaping. Otherwise, we're buying that sort of material. And if we can keep that clean brush, we're able to do this. So that was the reason for the video, to show and demonstrate the reason why. That's probably one of the biggest challenges whenever you do any of these processes, is you have to answer the question why. Mm-hmm. And if you can't, then you fail at your attempt to make it.
Is that video complete?
Our summer intern is working on that.
Great.
It will be placed on the village website. It will be placed on Facebook, and I don't know if you show videos on Twitter or not. That savvy. But we're also making some changes in the Alabama Highway book that we send out. Getting rid of a lot of the verbiage and showing with pictures. So it's more clear. I think some people are quicker to look at a picture and understand this is what it is versus having to read a two-page report on what it is, so, or definition. So those are some of the things that we're looking at trying to do.
Excellent. Nice job, team. Thank you. Item number 17. Any future agenda items? Trustee Harris.
Just with the different updates we're getting on public works, things like that, had the idea, see if everyone likes it, about getting updates on building permits or other different things, construction, reconstruction, remodeling going on in the village. If we could work with Kevin to get an update, let's say twice a year, October, the first meeting in October, the first meeting in April, where we get a quick report of how much is happening that we're not even aware of, whether it's remodels. Just be nice to just see them in front of us. We hear about things, but seeing the numbers helps. Not necessarily valuations, maybe the valuations, but just the number of projects going on.
Great. Great idea. Thank you. Any other items for future agendas? Hearing none, I will accept the motion to adjourn. No one wants to leave? Trustee Harris. Do I have a second? Trustee Dart, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much.